Praise God. I'm Pastor Mark Choate. Today's message is Looking Beyond the Falls. Please join us at today's podcast. It's looking beyond the faults. Looking beyond the faults. I want to talk about this because one of the things that God wants us to understand is that He looks beyond our fault and sees our need. Now, looking beyond the fault, this message that God placed in my spirit is because He is saying that sometimes we have fallen, and sometimes we even feel like we can't get up. But I want you to know that God is saying He's not looking at that situation. He's looking beyond it. So I want to talk about how He looks beyond the faults. In Isaiah 10, 27, in IV, I'm reading from, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. When you see yourself going through sometimes, we don't realize that, just like a child that's learning how to walk. How many of you know that when a child learns how to walk, they got a first crawl? Is that correct? And even though they're walking, they still fall. Is that right? Now, you as a good parent don't just sit there and say, "Stay there." What you do is you say to them, "Listen, get on up. You can do it. You can make it." So I want to talk about this because one of the problems that we're having in our spiritual life is that we're looking at other people's faults. God said that He looks beyond your fault and sees your need, but people, we're not looking at one another's fault. What we're doing is we're judging one another's faults. God wants you to grow spiritually, and the only way He can grow you spiritually is you got to first declare to yourself, "I want a spiritual upgrade." How many of you have computers? It's always downloading an upgrade, is that right? Sometimes you get tired of it. You say, "Oh no, it's doing another upgrade." What an upgrade does, an upgrade is designed to improve what is wrong. So the computer works like this. The computer sends a message to Microsoft or whoever, and Microsoft automatically sends updates. And these updates transitions to the computer, and it gives the necessary upgrades so that the computer will continue to operate smoothly. We as a people of God, God said we have fallen in some of the things that we're going through, but He's saying that you're going to be able to get up if you allow yourself for the upgrade. If you allow Him to download what is necessary to improve you and to make you. I wanted to talk about this because when it says in the scripture that it shall pass away in that day, that your burden shall be taken away from your shoulders. But only through the anointing. Someone said through the anointing. The anointing is what's going to break the yoke. Now, there's those that are oppressed and going through right now, but we don't want nothing to do with the anointing. We want to kind of do it ourselves. But we have to understand only the anointing from the Lord is going to break that yoke. I'm going to go to Colossians 3:13. In IV, this is. It says, "Make allowances for each other's faults." Someone said, "For each other's faults." And it says, "And forgive anyone who offends you." Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I'm going to talk, the reason why I'm talking about upgrade, the only way you can upgrade spiritually is you first have to allow yourself to open up your heart of forgiveness. Who has offended you? Who has hurt your feelings? who has stepped where they're not welcome. God cannot lift and get you back on your feet if you keep on talking about how worries me. I'm going through, nobody cares for me. But then when you talk about, when you go to that individual that's going through like that, you know what they usually do? They talk about everyone around them. Oh, well, this one left me. Or this one was talking about me. Or this happened to me. What God wants you to understand is that he's trying to download an upgrade in your life. And the only way you're going to see growth and the only way you're going to make progress is you got to first allow him to give you the upgrade. Now, yes, you're going to fall sometime. But it's looking in the scripture, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you should also must forgive them. Now, this is hard, isn't it? Because somebody, see, you gave someone a loan, they didn't pay you back. You know how we are with our money. Oh, yeah, you know I gave them $200. They said they were having it 2 weeks. Even us Christians, people like, yeah, they said they should have it. They didn't give us our loan. Or I gave them the money and I need it because I got to pay my rent. Look at this next scripture, and I'm going to go somewhere with this message. The next scripture that I have for you is Philippians 2:4, and it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. When it says not looking to your own interests, that means you can't just consider yourself. How about someone else? I'm going to talk about a story about Elijah and Elijah. They were prophets of God. Now, Elijah was the one that did many miracles and a lot of great things Elijah did. And Elijah, he wanted to be with him. He wanted to be there when he moved on because he said, this man is anointed of God. And so he made a request. He said, listen, I want a double portion of what you got. Turn to someone and said, I want a double portion of what God has for me. In the story that God placed in my spirit this morning, I want to let you know that Elijah was a prophet that served God. And he served God between this time phrase. He served God between 852 BC. This is his time that he served to 860 BC. Now, Elijah the prophet did about 16 miracles. Someone say 16. 16. See, now, a lot of time we hear about the prophet, we think that he was prophesying every single day. So that's what we do now. We prophesy every day. We say we're prophesying. We're prophesying. God is trying to give you an upgrade. So Elijah said that I want to get the double portion of what you got. I want to tie into what you have. And I want to talk about how God wants you to tie into what one another have through the anointing. But what has to happen first is you have to learn to forgive people around you. And the men and women of God that God has placed in your life, you need to learn to get close. So this is what happened in this story. I'm going to break it down. First of all, it says, I'm going to go on to 2 Kings, the second chapter, second verse. And what happened here was, Elijah was traveling, and he was going abroad, and he was traveling to Bethel. And he began to move forward, so Elijah said to Elijah that I'm going to stay with you all the time. He made it clear, I'm going to go and travel with you. I'm not leaving you, because before you leave, I want you to bless me. So what happened in this verse, it says, and Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And then on the fifth verse, this is another example. They decided now from going to Bethel, they decided to go to Jericho. And Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord sent me to Jericho. So he said to him, he said, stay here because the Lord is sending me to Jericho. And this is what Elijah's reply is right here. He says, and he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. You see that? So they went to Jericho. Reason why he wouldn't leave is because his mind was made up that he's going to stay close to his blessing. When you are going through something in your life, the enemy wants you to tap out. Yes, you have fallen. Yes, you have gone through something in your life. But the enemy sees that you're down and he doesn't want you to get up. A lot of times he wants to separate you from those that love you. He wants to put you in a situation where you won't grow. But I want to tell you right now that your growth is in your fellowship. Your growth is getting close to one another and being a blessing to each other. Now, the enemy knows this, so what is he going to do? He's going to put situations in your life where you don't want to be together. So in this passage, Elisha said to Elijah that I'm going to stay close to you because I need a double portion of the Holy Ghost. I want to double what you do. I want to be more anointed than you are. See, now I know it feels a little selfish. You're going to someone saying, I want more of what you have. But it was honorable. What we do today, even in society, what we do is we have nothing to do with each other. Some of us have been living in the same neighborhood for years. Don't know our neighbors. We've been in the same church for years and don't know one another. Now, his growth was not in himself. His improvement was in his relationship. So the relationship that he had with Elijah was this. He said, no matter where you go, I'm going with you. Because God has shown me that if I go with you, I'm going to grow. Now, the question is it going to be easy? No. If you go to 2 Kings 2 and 7, this is one of the great miracles they did right here, 2 and 7, it says 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stood at the Jordan. So they were standing at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water with it. And the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over the dry ground. This was one of the miracles he had done. Now, remember Moses, how he parted the Red Sea? So this happened as well with Elijah. Now, before they were able to get to where he was going, guess what? The enemy started getting in between their relationship. You know what the enemy wanted to do? He wanted to remind him that Elijah was ready to move on. And what that means is he was going to pass away. He was going to be caught up. He was going to move on. So the prophets came to him and said, don't you know that your master is going to move on? You know how the enemy does with us. Sometimes you're going through and it looks like nobody cares about you. And know what the enemy will do? He'll show up with somebody you know. Knocking at your door. Hello? Guess what? By the way, that's not going to work out for you. Instead of you getting up, you get back down and say, okay. So in the scriptures here, it shows that the prophets came to Elisha and said to him, listen, your master is going to move on. They begin to tell him that, you know, what are you doing? Your master's going to go on. So it says in the fifth verse, it says, the company of prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Somebody say today. And he said, I know. But he said, I don't care, because I don't care what happens. God told me to stay with him. Now, he could have listened to these prophets and said, yeah, he's going to move on. And he could have been down and out and just didn't do what he needed to do. But God told him that if you see him go, if you were there when he moved on, you were going to receive a double portion of the Spirit of God. So, you know, his mindset was like this. No matter what I do, I'm staying close. God wants you and I to stay close to the will that he has for our life. Now, it's hard because things are going to come. Discouragements are going to come. But God is saying is that you have to stay close to your blessing. Now, the blessing wasn't obvious all the time. The blessing was hard. He was a great man of God. I'm going to just name off a few things. Three times, Elijah was fed with divine supplies. This is how Elijah's life was. He was fed by ravens and by a widow and by an angel. This is the man that he was following. See, I want to ask you right now, who are you following? Are you fellowshipping with those that are going to bless you? Sow into your life, or are you following those that are not giving you sound counsel? You're following those that just doing what they want to, and you're asking them of their advice. How many of us want to grow spiritually? If we want to grow spiritually, we need to know that God wants us to be placed in a situation where we will grow. And that means that you have to peer up and team up with those of faith. You see what I'm saying? Because if you've fallen and you can't get up, guess what? If Pastor George fell down here, if I'm here, what am I going to do? Help him up. So this is why the enemy doesn't want you to grow spiritually. Because now you're in the room by yourself and you really can't get up. So the enemy has you in a dark place. That he's trying to minister to your spirit and tell you that you're a loser. Trying to tell you that you're no good. Trying to tell you that you made too many mistakes. You can't get up. But God wants you to know that you have to understand that you have to try. That means you have to seek out, like the sister said in her testimony, how someone was a blessing to her. The person that next to you might be a blessing to you, but the enemy wants you to hang up on them. You can't get stronger in your faith if you don't trust in the word and trust in God. And like Elijah, he was a mighty man of God. He done great things and he prophesied, but what happened in the end? I want to just say this. First of all, the miracles that Elijah did, he caused drought. He was able to prophesy. And he also took meal and oil and multiplied it. This is what this man did. It says he sacrificed, he consumed a sacrifice by fire. Now, this is a mighty man of God. So his life wasn't easy. He was being chastened. There was a time where all the prophets of God, they were killing them. And what he did, he went into running. He began to run in fear. But God had to change him and tell him, listen, don't you run. I'm still with you. So even though you might be strong in the Lord and you might be on fire for God, don't you know there's going to be times when you feel like you're running? But what God wants you to know is to be strong. And be a good encouragement. Be a good cheer. Don't allow the enemy to come in and mess with your faith. So just like Elijah, just because he was a powerful, mighty man of God, he also faced adversity. And the individual that was following him, this is what I'm asking you. I want to bring this point out to you. Don't you know that Elijah, as he was following him, seen some things wrong in his life? How about you? We don't want no one to get close. You know why? When they get close to you, they know your business. Yeah, I like going to that church, but I don't want them to come over because they know my business. God wants you to be blessed. And we have to get our mindset changed where we say, listen, I want to be a blessing to somebody, and I also want to receive a blessing from somebody. I was at an event, and just a blessing happened to me unbeknownst, and I was amazed. But it shows you how everyone's watching. I was at the, we had a 4th of July event, and we were fooling around, and I have cousins of mine that we grew up with, and they seen me with these sneakers. And these sneakers weren't like name brand. So they began to tease me like when we were kids. Look at Mark, them are fish heads. I don't even see a brand on them. I don't even know. And, you know, and they're your cousins and you grew up with them. And I didn't do nothing. But I was just standing there just listening to them, letting them have their time. And then I walked off. It was no big deal to me. Then all of a sudden I'm at the house. Not 2 or 3 days later, and I get a box of sneakers, Nike sneakers. And it was someone from the church that seen me being harassed and said, I'm going to bless Pastor. You see what I'm saying? Somebody wants to bless you. Somebody sees that you're going through. See, God works through individuals. Every scripture in the Bible shows how God used man to bless man. He used people of God to be a blessing to you. Even those that went to curse you end up blessing you. So God is saying, stop laying down and tapping out like you can't make it, and say to yourself, Lord, whatever you send, whoever you send, I will go. But your mind must be made up. I'm going all the way with Christ. Amen. Amen. Give God some praise. I know it's hot in here right now, but your mind needs to be made up. Now, the reason why our mind's not made up, because we're hanging around with those that aren't doing any good. God, see, the saints, I want you to know this, is that I'm not perfect in myself. There's going to be things that I need to improve. For like one thing, is I'm trying to lose weight. You know, and I like Pepsi. And I like soda. So when you're trying to lose weight, you got to make different decisions. This is hard. Is that right? Amen. My son, he's got this mixer that's a super. You ever see how people get them super, super cutters that cut up your food? Blenders? My son got a max. Like, it was like something I couldn't afford. And I mean, he is serious. He mixes up his food. He puts it, and I come in with my cheeseburger. Boom. And my fries. Boom. But every time I look at him, see, someone said, look at him. Every time I look at him, it's encouraging me indirectly. It's convicting me. See, he didn't have to say a word. It's just like, yeah, you need to step it up a little. You need to put your work in. He pull out his maximum blender. Whoosh. And pull out the fruit and put it in there and put the vegetables in there and max it up and it all looks green. You know how that works. It's like, that don't look too good. I stay away from green stuff. And I always ask them little questions like, does that taste good? And they're like, you know how you do that. Okay. I got to throw some sugar in that. You know how we do. We throw some sugar in it. So, but what happens is that he, by him doing what he was doing, it was ministering to me indirectly. You are blessing your neighbor. You're ministering to them without saying anything. You minister to them when they're down and out. Yes, you heard their story of being defeated, but guess what? Because they know you, they're praying in the midnight hour for you. So like Elijah, he said, I'm going to stay with you. Elisha said, I'm going to stay with you until you go. Even though the report from the prophets was, listen, don't you know your master is going to go? He's going to pass away. He could have put his head down and said, yeah, I know. I'm just going to go home now. But know what he did? He said, wherever he goes, I'm going. So when he went to Bethel, he went with him. They were tired. They worked all night, and they were going to Jericho. And he said, why don't you stay here? Because I know you're tired. This is what we do. The enemy does that to us. He knows you're tired. That's the number one thing I get calls on. Oh, Pastor, I'm tired. I won't be around. Oh, Pastor, I'm tired. I can't do this. Oh, but God is saying is that your blessing is in your hustle. So that means when you make the flesh do what it don't want to do, like the word says, to die to the flesh. When you die to the flesh is no longer in control. And God can now have control. And because he has control, guess what? You're going to get the upgrade. But the upgrade can't come in disappointment. Because when you're down and you're feeling broken, guess what? God is saying, I'm sending some help. I'm sending somebody away. I'm going to send somebody to meet a need. I was in New Orleans in 2009. And I wasn't working for almost 2 years. And I was in IT and I started my own landscaping business just to get work. And I remember I was out in the field working, and I said, I want to go back into IT. And the Lord said, well, what I want you to do is go online, go on your computer, and the first job you see, put in for. Now I said, wow, that's crazy. So I see a job, it came in, it was from New Orleans. And I was like, I was born and raised in New Hampshire. I've never been anywhere else, really. And the Lord said, you're going to do this. And I remember when I took that job, I got a call and I had an interview over the phone and then a Skype interview over the computer. We're talking. And that Skype did not go through right. So I ended up talking to him over the phone and he hired me. Now, my boss was in Texas. No, he said to me, he said, yeah, you have the job, but you have to go to New Orleans. And I was like, to New Orleans? And I said, well, I want to work, and I got to feed my family. And this is what we do. We don't know that God wants to open up doors for you, but he wants to know, do you have your hustle on? Are you going to be down and out, or are you going to say, Lord, send me, and I'll go? And I remember when I got that call and I made a decision, okay, Lord, you said do it. I'm going to do it. I told the church and NEP and everyone was amazed. You're going to go. I can't believe you're going. And I went and we got a car and I took that car and I drove to New Orleans. Never been there. Went on GPS and typed in the address in the city. I'd never been there, so I just looked at the city and picked the street. And I just put in a GPS and said, drive. And it said 1,500 miles, something like that. And I began to drive for days. And as I was driving, I was discouraged in my heart. I said, Lord, what is this? I'd never left my family so long. And I said, what is this? As I was driving. And now I'm in New Orleans, and God began to do great things in my life. I was hanging out at a gym playing basketball. Some of y'all know I'm pretty good. I can dunk. Well, there's my other cousin. He's like, no, he can't. He's the basketball counselor for those that are out of the game on the bench like this. Yeah, so how did it go for you? You know, I'm usually the guy sitting on the last one picked. No, sir. But, you know, we used to play ball all the time. So I went to a gym in New Orleans and was hanging out there. And when I went, I didn't bring one suit, nothing for church. I was like, you know what? No one knows me. I was down and out, and I was feeling defeated. And I said, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm not telling no one who I am. I'm not going to identify myself. And I went to the gym, and I began to play ball. And as we would play ball, we would sit on the sideline and talk to different guys. And as I kept going to the gym, I didn't tell this guy about me. His name was Connie, and he was about 6'5", really big guy. And I lived two streets over from the gym in this apartment complex. And I remember one night, it was like 10 at night, I got someone knocking at my door. He knocked at my door, and I said, who is this at this time of night? I didn't invite no one over. And he said, it was Connie. He came into my room. Now, we're talking about when you're defeated, when you feel that God has no purpose in your life. And he knocked on my door, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, how did you find me? He said, some people told me they seen you walk this way, and someone said they've been by, so they dropped you off, so they got your number, your door number, so they pointed that's where you live. He searched me out. And he went to the door, and he said, I need to talk. And when he came in, I didn't say I was a man of God and I was a preacher and I had a word for him, no. He came into an empty room with just a lamp. And you know when you're defeated and you say, I have nothing. God, I've gone through my whole life and this is what you got for me. And I felt defeated. But this knock that came to the door, he didn't know that he was ministering to me as I was ministering to him. So I welcomed him in the house. And he began to tell me about his life. He said, I don't know much about you, but I know that there's a calling in your life and God has called you for purpose. And he said, I had to follow you. He began to tell me his situation and we began to pray. And I mean, when you're talking about an appointment with the Holy Ghost, that room, he was all over the floor and then he was crying in tears. He was flooded with tears. And then I began to flood with tears and I said, Lord, but I'm broken. And God said, you're not broken. I'm sending someone to help you up. Hallelujah. See, it was an angel. There was an appointment by God to meet me in the midnight hour. Some of you are broken. So what are you going through, church? Why are you so down and out? So that night we began to pray and cry. And I prayed with him and I prayed with him. And then the Spirit of God came like a western wind. And we began to cry and cry and cry. Two grown men in a room with a lamp crying to God. And then that's when God said, I want you to meet me every day at the park. And you go for a walk and I'm going to meet you in the woods. And I would go for this park that I found in New Orleans. Then I would just walk every noon. See, so I got up before I was down, but then God said, get up again. And then I began to walk every noon, and the Holy Ghost would meet me on the trail, and he would minister to my need, and then he would encourage me, and he began to direct my path. So God is saying, he's going to direct your path. But you have to get up again. You have to get up again. You got to see Jesus. Hallelujah. So God is saying to the church today, to each one of you, are you going to get up again? Are you going to meet your divine appointment? And allow God to minister to your personal need. He's going to send somebody to your door. He's going to send somebody to your workplace. He's going to send somebody to your living room. But the question is, will you get up again? We all fall down, but we get up again. So God is saying, I'm looking beyond your fault and seeing your need.
Praise God. This is Pastor Mark Choate of New England Pentecostal House of Praise. I pray that you receive the word of God that was ministered today. I know that it's going to be a blessing to you and your family. Continue to listen to Revival Today. We hope to see you in Manchester, New Hampshire, 1850 Elm Street. Service time, 10 a.m. Come visit us. Have a nice day.